You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, well, we're alive.
We're alive.
Look who's alive.
But did you die?
But did you die?
What is everybody? Welcome to the Winner's Lounge. Let's go. Man, it was an ugly win, but it was a win nonetheless. It will take them however we get them. No shortage of things to talk about as the Nuggets down the Wolves, the shorthanded Wolves, Luka Garza's Wolves, 115 to 112 in what was among the more frustrating games you can have, disappointing at sometimes. But at the end, Michael Porter Jr. saves the day. Help me talk about it. Oh, man, who better than Brendan Vogt?
Missed opportunity to say Michael Xavier Jr. there for you, but
I was letting you take it.
You're on the same page. Dude, this is going to be a fun one, man. Big time buckets. When's the last time we got a fourth quarter Porter quarter? Come on.
It has been a while.
Come on.
It's been a minute, man.
It might be the first one.
Might be the first one ever, actually. And then, of course, Superstar Dev.
A very, very ugly win. But a win nonetheless, and you'll take some of those every now and then.
Brother, I will take them. We are presented, as always, by Bet365, Never Ordinary. How are we doing our bets tonight?
We did okay.
We were on pace to do great.
Yeah, we missed the Jokic over his 8 assists has not been hitting.
That was way off.
It was way off. But it was a good game.
Yeah, it was a good game. Lots to talk about. Let's do the fast breakdown. Fast breakdown here. Slow-mo. So the news, if you're just tuning in, if you didn't know, the news is Karl-Anthony Towns has been out. Naz Reid, concussion this last game, he's out. Rudy Gobert, who's missed the last couple of games, he's out. So they have three bigs. Tonight, none of them available. Who do they start? Kyle Anderson, 6'7". He's going to go guard Jokic. 3 minutes, three fouls. Absolutely insane. Nuggets had a 10-point lead, mostly bully ball, but then they coughed it up. Remember, to start this game, Denver just looked like it was like, all right, dumb strategy. You went small. Denver's going to bully you. And Jokic then started. They bring in Luka Garza. Dude, Jok loves going against Luka Garza, man. He loves that guy. That's one of the few guys he just doesn't see. He was dominating the first quarter, and the Nuggets were up 35-28. Second quarter, Aaron Gordon at center. No Zeke Nagy in this game, so where are you going to go? Do you go big? Do you just play small? They play small. Wolves struggling to score without Ant was a big deal here because Denver didn't look great to start with that bench unit. Minnesota could not score. And then Pewatt, three quick fouls. He has to come out. Starters come back in. They're putting in work. Jokic had zero assists in the first half, but Denver was up 70-55, a 15-point lead. 4 minutes into the third quarter, the lead was already down to four. The Wolves come out. It was a classic. Denver was up 15. It came to them so easy. Minnesota switched up their coverage a little bit. They were going to blitz Jok. They were going to force Jok to get the ball out of his hands, and Denver would attack a scramble defense. Denver was not up to that challenge because they were not focused, Jamal Murray in particular. Jokic only took a few shots. They were mostly fadeaways, and then Anthony Edwards took over in the third. He was really freaking good in that quarter.
Yeah, I put him on my Bet365 top five players to watch that aren't on the Nuggets. That aged well. That dude is unbelievable.
Man. What about the fourth?
Now we're talking.
Nuggets had a 5-0. So Nuggets actually cough up the lead. Anthony Edwards hits a three to put them up. And I'm telling you, that crowd, it was going to be their set. If Denver lost this one, it would have been Minnesota 7. That's what that would have been.
That's right.
That absolutely would have been what it was. So, but the Nuggets closed the quarter on a 5-0 run. They go up 87-84. Malone had one of the ragiest rage timeouts I've ever seen from him because Murray comes out, throws it over. Pewatt turns it over. Denver came out so sloppy in that fourth quarter, and you're thinking, what's going on? The Wolves had all the momentum and a 5-point lead with 7 minutes to go. Jokic comes back in, immediately retakes the lead. How? With the two-man game with?
Michael Xavier Jr.
Michael Porter and Yoke went two-man game, Dev. And it was beautiful. It was a work of art. Michael Porter then, Holiday had a 4.5. Denver looked like they were going to just like, okay, enough funny business, take it over. Holiday is in there, by the way. Holiday and Reggie instead of Murray and Gordon down in the clutch.
Wild.
And then Holiday gives up a foul, a three-point shooter on a make. It was going to be a four-point play. They missed the free throw. Michael Porter hit a huge three. And then Jokic had a three to put him up eight. Very ugly down the stretch. Denver missed some free throws, and they made a bunch of Hail Mary shots. Some other details in there that I skipped over, like Aaron Gordon not coming in until a minute 30 or so. Didn't play the clutch. Jamal Murray not coming in the same kind of time. Very strange decisions there, but with a purpose. Dev, what's your big takeaway?
My big takeaway in that game was this was a ugly win, really. But this was a game that I felt like Malone really did try to send a message. And while I don't think that he was great in this game, Michael Malone, I hope that the Nuggets received that message. There was a few players that they're not playing well right now, and they're kind of playing lackadaisical. So he called them out. Not only did he call them out, he decided to not play them down the stretch, and I think that that's big. And I hope that that message is something that sticks with them, because right now is the time to get right, and Denver doesn't look all the way there. So it's time to stop playing lackadaisical and to focus in.
I mean, it was lackadaisical. Do you think it was just that, though? Just lack of focus? I mean, look, Denver, I thought, played lackadaisical against Mavs. Then they come out and do this one in the second half. So are you sure it's just that? Do you think there's any chance they're downshifting?
I mean, they're not looking as sharp as they have been. They are not looking as sharp as they were at a stretch in the season where it looked like they were content. Like, they're the defending champions, and they're going to win it again. So I think it is about sending that message of, hey, you guys are not playing to the best of your ability, and we need you to, or we have other guys that will. And I'm gonna send that message and put guys out there that probably shouldn't be out there, but we're gonna be able to still etch out a win.
We're gonna have to circle back to that, because I think you're right, man. There was some crazy players playing in clutch minutes. Big takeaway. Presented by Red Hawk Roofing, by the way. Presented by Red Hawk Roofing, who, by the way, the homies who had us out on a roof today. We were on a roof today.
Dude, and I didn't realize about this about myself. I'm a roofman.
All right.
I love on. Hanging out on a roof.
Come on. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, okay.
I'm not talking about working. No. I'm talking about sitting.
No, you are right. Yeah. Actually, it is really cool to be on a roof.
Great vibe. I didn't know that.
People that build a rooftop deck, great decision.
Oh, yeah.
You see the whole city. It wasn't even that high of a roof, would you say? 20 feet? 30 feet? And yet, it felt like you were on top of the world. It was great. Red Hawk Roofing.
Real quick, shout out to the person in the chat who polled that this is actually like the 10th time Porter scored 10 or more points in the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah. Good find. Good dig.
Good find. Good stuff, chat. 4-7 from deep was Michael Porter Jr. tonight. And at one point, fellas, where we were watching, I turned to you and said, the feeling is back. When Porter shoots a three, I think it's going in just about every time. And it could be a contested three. He could have bobbled it. It could be Jaden McDaniels at the peak of the contest jumping. I'm pretty sure it's going in. And it's been a while since we felt that way. Well, he's looked good for about a month now, but for large stretches of the season, for many things he was doing well, that feeling was missing. Oh, Porter's going to hit this. You can't leave this guy open. And to get it back, it's just a nice reminder that this team was always more multidimensional than we gave them credit for. And part of it is that they do have a guy who can get hot at any time. They do have a guy who can, now it's off the two-man game, I don't want to say by himself, but he can get you 3 points when you really, really need 3 points. And just having that confidence in Porter again has really upped my confidence in the Nuggets again, of just knowing there's yet another layer of ways they can beat you. And it's been a long time since I felt that way, and I feel it big time now.
My big takeaway, man, is tough on this one. We're going to circle back to Porter, because, I mean, obviously the big takeaway for me would probably be Porter. But this team goes as Jamal goes. Yoke's good every night. That's why they don't go the way Jamal. Usually it's like, okay, if Yoke plays poorly, then of course they would, as a team, play poorly. But he never does. The team goes as Jamal goes. And tonight, just such a weird game. I thought coming into tonight, the big story was, how does he look going against Akil Alexander-Walker, going against Jaden McDaniels? And I don't even know if I got a great read on that. Those guys got good stops on him, made some plays. Like, they did some good work. Murray just didn't seem that interested in attacking and being it. He was sloppy with the ball. He had a weird that pass, the right-handed pass he threw out of bounds at 80 miles per hour. I think it was to Christian Brown that just like went out of bounds. Yeah. That was such a perfect encapsulation of his night. And you look at the numbers: 17 points, 11 assists. Pretty good numbers. 2 of 3 from 3, 6 of 14 overall. But when you watched the game, you thought Jokic and Murray solve every problem. Minnesota presented a very unique one in that they didn't just shade towards Jokic. They didn't just send a double. They tried to say, force the ball out of his hands and see if other guys make the play. And I just thought Murray had such an opportunity to go off tonight. Didn't. And as a result, there was a weird rhythm to them. And it's not just Murray's fault. I think a lot of guys contributed to this. But I thought this was the exact... If you're a star player and you play alongside of Jokic, everybody would want to play alongside of Jokic. Why? He draws attention. Tonight, the Wolves gave him the most attention you can possibly give a player, and yet he didn't seem interested in taking over. And that frustrates me. I think that's regular season Murray. Postseason Murray always wants to take over. But this team goes as he goes. And what felt like a big night, a big game against the team you want to beat in the standings, Murray left it to chance. And unfortunately, Michael Porter had his back.
Yeah, that. I mean, that's the big thing of making this game so awkward is because this is a game that Jamal Murray usually relishes in. Because it's so much attention on Jokic. It's so many double teams coming. It's everybody trying to buy in on trying to slow him down that they leave out these opportunities for other people to get off. Jamal just was not as aggressive. And maybe it was like the mindset of Nikhil Alexander-Walker and McDaniels and the type of defenders that they are that, hey, if they're going to do that, I'm going to try to find other people. So I do think that early in the game, he decided, I'm going to pass in this game. I'm going to get other people involved and see if we can score that.
And play. He was good. Like, he actually had some really good pass. My early notes were about his passing being a positive early on.
Yeah, and I think that he just really just bought into that once he seen that that's what it was. Really, I think that the Timberwolves being so like beat up and not having their guys, I think that his mindset kind of altered to I don't have to be as aggressive. There's not as much in it for me to go after because we know what type of competitor Jamal is. I do think that that put a wrench in his plans of just trying to take over or take that matchup seriously. But I mean, as we all know, the team goes as he goes, and this was a pretty rocky game. Not a horrible game from him, but a rocky game, and that's how it summed up for the Nuggets as well.
Yeah, I'm gonna be a little higher on Murray than you guys were again, I think. I mean, some of your points are relevant, and the minus 11, you know, not in a coincidence. He did play with the bench, and Peyton and Christian just weren't good tonight. But I liked a lot of his playmaking, and I do think he is looking for Michael Porter Jr. more and more. I think that's a real development.
That's in general, but you thought so tonight?
I thought he had a couple moments tonight. Yeah, I did. I liked his passing tonight. I will say, I think he dribbled the air out of the ball. I think maybe there was a little too much Jamal on ball, period. And maybe some possessions could have looked different if he took a different approach, getting off ball and stuff. But the playmaking was good. There is something too, though, man, of like how hard it is for him to score against guys like McDaniels, like Nikhil Alexander-Walker, and how honestly you're just not going to see him carrying a second unit without another offensive option out there. Like, Gordon's a great player and much better than Zeke Nnaji, but he's not a shooter and he's not taking pressure off Jamal. And to this point, the next step Jamal has to take, you know, and I'm not even trying to be coy or funny here, like the all-star leap would be being that guy when Jokic is off the floor.
Yeah.
And as, of course, for sure, a scorer, he just isn't there yet.
And he's been really good. I want to make clear, he's been really good. Last couple games, you know, I just, again, does he have this in him for 82? I think the answer is very clearly no. Then it's like, okay, does he have it in for 27 or whatever it is coming out of the All-Star break? And it's last couple games make you wonder. I don't know. We'll find out. But to your point, it is hard to know. Go back and forth, Dev. You know how it is. This is the NBA. Teams mix up coverages. They try to disguise you, and I think you're right that he played it well in the first half, and Denver's up 15. In the second half, you mix it up, and something different was required of him, and he just didn't shift into that gear or shift into that mind frame. And it is a hard mind frame. Even Jokic has struggled with this at certain points of his career. I don't think he struggles with it nearly as much anymore. But tonight, I just thought Murray struggled with that thing of like, no, man, the energy shifted. They're doing a different thing, and now you got to go. So again, I don't let him off the hook for that because right. And why I say that the Nuggets, they go as he goes. It doesn't mean they can't win a game like this. They played Luka Garza,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, this wasn't a great team that where they rolled out there and they almost lost. So the fact that they barely won, that's still a 20th percentile game. I don't know if you have any thoughts on top of that. Michael Porter, though, let's get to the fun part. Let's stop complaining, you guys.
Yeah.
Let's stop complaining. Michael Porter, 9 of 15, 4 of 7 from 3. I am back, vote. To when he shoots the ball, I just think it's in. It took a long time for me to get here, but I am back. Several times tonight, he caught a kickout pass or something, and I was just like, count it. In my head, it's like, I'm counting it. That one's good.
And the fourth quarter for me, Dev, is the cherry on top of this dynamic that we've sort of been moving to since the start of the end of the All-Star break. And that just felt like our trust in Porter and his confidence has clearly been building since the break. And then this fourth quarter, you go, oh, man, they really needed those, you know? Murray and Jokic maybe – well, actually, Jokic was amazing. I'm going to stop there. But in the 30, wasn't great. Like, but they needed someone to get a bucket. And those – I know it was Luka Garza, and it wasn't the full-strength two-seed – or three-seed team. But those were big-boy buckets, man, at a big time, at a big moment in the game. When things were slipping away from Denver, they were not within the flow. They were not easy. He went out and got them. And that last three he hit for me was just the – the boom. Like, this guy's back. He's gonna miss some open shots, but I think defenses know too. Like, you cannot leave this guy open going forward, and if you do, he's gonna score 20 plus points.
I mean, we just talked about how this was a matchup where the Timberwolves made sure to like send double teams and try to make it so somebody else beats them. And Michael Porter Jr. understood the assignment in this one. He was like, I'm going to be aggressive. I'm going to be the one that has to score. And I think that was a great balance from him of, I'm not going to shoot us out of the game, but I'm going to be aggressive to it. If I have it, I'm going to take it.
Right.
And he took some big shots in the game, and the ball, it found him in this game. And that's where I credit Jamal, like, of – hey, I haven't had it going on right now, but another guy on my team.
Well, in that stretch, Jamal wasn't on the court, though.
That's where he became aggressive.
Right.
That's where Michael Porter Jr. became aggressive. And then they kind of
playing power forward, together. Right?
But I did love the two-man. Like, the two-man of finding a new – that's a new two-man that we haven't seen much of. I mean, it was Reggie Jackson, Michael Porter Jr., and Jokic. And they were like, I'm going to feed, and we're both going to get going because Jokic had it going on, and he's scoring, and then Michael Porter Jr. is knocking down shots. But, yeah, that ability to just know he's open, it's going in. Side steps, getting to the rim. He made a play late in the game where he could have tried to run around. But he was like, no, I'm confident enough that either I'm going to get fouled or I'm going to go finish it down there. And that's just him just coming into his own and knowing I got it offensively.
What I loved is that Jokic seem to also understand the assignment.
Yes.
Also understand, like, all right, it's me and Porter now. Murray's on the bench for the stretch. We got to get going. And he went for it. And that's part of what I absolutely love. Let's take a break. I want to talk more about the two-man game and also about MPJ's confidence on the other side. And then why? Why was Porter going off in this game? The defensive choices that Minnesota made, even though they didn't have their bigs tonight, to me, does feel like a little tipping of their hand of how they view this assignment. And maybe in some ways, this is something that the Nuggets need to learn some lessons from tonight. And we'll talk about whether or not they did.
A lot of different times for me, fellas, I consider Miller time. Like, there's just a lot of different things where I would point at it and say, it's Miller time. Quarter quarters in the fourth quarter, that's Miller time for sure.
Yeah.
That's Miller time. It's always Miller time in my opinion. But the thing about Miller Lite is that whether it's Miller time or not, you always know. You get great taste in a drink that's that you can handle. You know what I mean? It's 96 calories per 12 ounces. And as I've gotten a little older, I've certainly realized why people move away from beers and heavier beers. It's hard to keep the weight off. That's why I just crush Miller Lights, baby. Great taste. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Pairs great with the Nuggets. Pairs great with Nuggets wings.
So easy to drink, too.
So easy to drink.
Man, you know how hot it was on that roof today? You know what I said, though, when we were up there? Do you remember? Yeah. It reminded me of that Shawshank Redemption when they're on the roof, that. You know? And you know, all drinking some Buzz. They're all having some Miller Lite.
And they knew exactly what you were talking about. The roofers. They were like, hell yeah, it does. We love that scene.
You know that scene, right? It's a great scene.
We love that scene.
That's what I thought. If you would have seen where we were, man, with it wasn't tar, but it was glue.
Yeah. I like Miller, man. You're going to get some podcast hosts that have to talk about different products and You know, listen, this is not a, I love Miller. Give me a Miller Lite right now. It's Miller time. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/DNVR. You can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beers. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces. It's never ordinary at Bet365. It wasn't ordinary tonight. Not the ordinary Wolves, not the ordinary Nugget. Well, maybe the ordinary Nuggets in the third, depending on your perspective on third quarters. But here's the deal. It's never ordinary with Bet365. They don't believe in ordinary. Every sport, every moment, every game, every play, it should all be epic, and it can be. Right now, new customers can choose between two offers when they open an account at Bet365. Use the code DNVR365 to sign up, deposit $10, choose between either a bet and get offer and place a bet of $5 or more and get $150 in bonus bets, or a first bet safety net offer by placing a bet up to $1,000. And if your qualifying bet loses, you receive a matched refund in bonus bets. You do have to be 21 or older and physically located in Colorado. Please do gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.
We back. Continuing on this, so Nuggets get the win, 115 to 112. Also, real quick, want to say the Rams are advancing in the NCAA tournament. See who plays tomorrow. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we're all going to be here. Like, we're working.
Oh, it's so good.
We're working, but we're really just watching the game. We'll be live streaming. We're going to be doing a bunch of stuff. But if you want to play hooky, call in sick, come down to the DNVR bar, watch along with us. It's one of my favorite weekends of the entire freaking year. And I've watched zero college basketball this year.
We're going to lock in real soon.
Bro, I can't wait to lock in, man. It's going to be the
people
best.
People are going to ask me what I think, and I'm just going to regurgitate whatever devs told me recently.
Yeah, totally. That's really how you do smart. It. That's how you do it.
I'm going to look really smart.
Yoke's relationship to Porter is so interesting. I think he clearly gets frustrated with him and has in the past. But I think he really trusts him more and more and more. And Yoke is so expressive. It's a curse. I think foreigners are more expressive. And I think when you go to a foreign country, you become more expressive. Totally. You ever notice this?
Your hands start flying.
Because you're like, don't know how to communicate.
Yeah.
So you have to be like more demonstrative. Yoke, man, when guys mess up, like he just does such big gestures. And with Mike, there's a lot of these, a lot of the gestures. But over time, this year and tonight in particular, I just felt like we know he trusts AG. We know he trusts Murray. He has two-man game there. I thought tonight he was like, you know what? We can win it this way. We're not working these other ways. Porter, let's do this. And to me, that's what's so cool about tonight's game. That's why this game was really frustrating, but I kind of am in a great mood afterwards because that's such a cool story to me, those two guys having this chemistry.
Yeah, and it's also just one that we don't see often, like those two playing alongside each other and just trying to operate on the same accord. And I love to see that because the other guys seem to just get out of the way. Like, I love how that got put together. I also think that, I mean, that chemistry is growing because they try to run those plays, but also he trusts that he's going to be able to go. There was a part of the game where Michael Porter Jr. like ran up the court and kind of got stuck, and they're like, patience, patience. You could hear it into the mic of just like, calm down. Where I feel like that would have been a time that everybody would have put their hands up or like turned around for defense because that they knew that they were coming, but they trusted him. And that's why we're not seeing him shy away from the moment late in games. That's why we're seeing the ball still find him late in games where he could have a Porter quarter, fourth quarter.
Right.
How often does that happen?
Right.
Like that you're going to feed your guy that has having a hot game. And this is not to say that Jokic wasn't. He could have scored every single time that he wanted to, and he almost did.
Yeah.
So, like, for them to both get it going at the same time, it's going to be easy when other people are playing well, when other people are knocking down shots and getting into a rhythm. So, like, that was a promising and positive part of this game.
I don't think people fully understand Yoke scoring 35 points tonight with the defense they decided to play in the second half.
Yeah. You thought Anthony Edwards was good?
Dude, Anthony Edwards had 30 points tonight, and it was like, oh my God, bucket getter, unbelievable. He took more shots than Yoke. Yoke had 35, and there was an entire quarter where the defense was everybody guard Jokic.
It's you know what it is? It's that Sun series when everyone couldn't stop talking about Devin Booker, and you're like, guess who's outscored him over two games?
Exactly.
But it doesn't look that way on the perimeter. Yeah, the Porter talked this year about the difference between both Jokic and Murray, respectively, being willing to pass to him and then looking for him.
Yeah.
He made that distinction, and I think we're in the second part now, definitely with Jokic. Just, look, we need three here. The defense is keyed in on me. Mike's on the floor. I believe Jokic when he says what he says about Mike. Every time he shoots it, I think he's going in.
Yeah.
I don't think Jokic lies to build up confidence.
I don't think Jokic lies.
I don't think he lies. I really think he means that. And you can see it. And it's actually the first... That was how I first knew that maybe there'd be an ups and downs, but I was going to keep my trust in Porter's talent.
Yeah.
I knew two things. The org was telling us how hard he works.
Right.
And that's...
That's big.
I mean, it's actually essential with his injury history. He's just not here if he doesn't work hard, right? But the second was that Jokic knew he was good. The second was that Jokic picked his head up and looked for him. And that's when I realized, like, yeah, all right, this guy's real good, and Jokic knows it, and he's a weapon.
How is Porter, like, I just looked it up because I wasn't sure. How is he only shooting, 43.6% post-All-Star break? I just feel like he's shooting 60% in my head. I'm telling you, I'm at the moment now where I just feel they're all in.
He'll go through this stretch of games where he's, like, doesn't make any, or he'll make, like, one, and then just make up for it the next game where he goes, like, 60% from deep, or, you know, like back to the over 50%. But like, really, it's the type of shots he's shooting. I think that that's what's different from last year and years past and things like that. It used to be just open knockdown shots.
Yeah.
Like, you have to just shoot the ball. Now he's doing step back, side steps, coming off of screens, pinned. Like, he's trying different ways to get open, and he feels like, I'm going to get him up and I'm going to shoot it, and everybody else is like going along with it.
Great point.
So, I mean, when your teammates believe in the type of shots that you're taking and you are a naturally gifted scorer the way that he is, you're going to be able to take those type of shots. And I love that he has the green light again.
The crazy thing is he's shot below 40% just three times in the last 10 games. So seven out of the last 10, he shot 40% or above from three. So it just shows you, man, he really is finding his groove. And I'll tell you, when I talk to other people, like other people covering other teams, in their head, Michael Porter is shooting 70%.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so totally. Like, they're always asking about him.
Defenders know. I'll tell you that right now.
Let me tell you about why Porter had a big night tonight and why I think this game was actually meaningful. The junk it up defense tonight, even though they didn't have their bigs, they still showed something about, okay, we're going to dare you to space the floor better because we're not going to respect your shooters. We're not going to respect Aaron Gordon. We're not going to respect Christian Brown, Peyton Watson, even Holiday at times. And it was like, all right, what they were vulnerable to was drives. Denver wasn't up for that tonight for whatever reason. But the shooting, they just weren't scared about that. And I know some people were upset in that third quarter because Malone went to his regular rotation, which was to bring in Christian and Peyton. And those guys looked horrible because they were being left open and this or that. But in the fourth quarter, Malone did make an adjustment. And I don't know, Dev, if it was because he was mad. Part of me felt like he was punishing Murray and Gordon. Like, you guys have let me down. We're not taking this seriously. Some terrible turnovers. But another part of me thinks it was like, all right, they're going to play this Mickey Mouse defense. I'm going to put Michael Porter at the four. I'm going to leave Holiday in, who can make three. I'm just going to put three-point shooters out there. And if you guys are going to play this junk defense, we're going to get some open shots. I think it was a little bit of both, but probably more that latter.
If it's the latter, though, like, that's real coaching, though. Like, that's making adjustments, and it truly did work out. And ironically enough, that became, like, the defensive unit as well, because they really did hold Anthony Edwards down as well. And also, Reggie Jackson got to his spots and attacked and finished around the rim. He also found the open man and made – so, like, he was – incredible in this game in that stretch, but also, like, you knew who it was going to. Maybe it was part of that. When those guys were out there, you knew Michael Porter Jr. or Jokic was shooting the ball.
Oh, that's true. Like, hierarchies.
You don't have to, like, decide if we're going to get AG involved. I do think that taking out AG was, like, really strategy. I think that the Jamal one was like, hey, you're not attacking, you're not getting downhill, and we got a guy that will do those things in this game, and that was Reggie. He's going to get to the rim. He's going to try to shoot it because he knows nothing else. And it was like, hey, you need to do a bit more of that, but also stay aggressive. Stay in that type of way. But, yeah, really, like, just going back and thinking about it, if Michael Malone is doing those type of things, that's an excellent coaching job to just give it a try, because it worked out.
But I think it's probably front of mind, because it's one thing that I think they're going to have to do. Like, that series, I think they figured some things out with the roaming Gobert. I do think that Denver has figured some things out there. But there is something, too. Yeah, but you might need to put Mike at the four sometime. If Rudy Gobert is going to say, okay, I'm going to guard AG and just patrol the paint, Michael Porter on him, he can't do that. You can't do it. And I do think there's something to Denver. It has to be front of mind that in that series with Minnesota, that might be a thing that they have to do that's a little strange. And they did it tonight, albeit against the zombie.
Even if it's just to unclog the drain for a bit, right?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. No, that's a really, really good point, man.
So I just think there was a little bit of that. And I'll tell you, it brings me to the next point, which is not the best night for Peyton Watson and Christian Brown. Project Dynasty had a rough one tonight. Peyton Watson in particular. 2 points for him, 3 rebounds, 1 of 4 shooting, 0 for 1 from 3. And I just thought tonight, like, you watch him, I've gone on record and said that I think he already defends as well as Jaden McDaniels. Tonight was not, delete the tape, because that was that was a terrible take for tonight. And what made me even more mad, Jaden McDaniels, I like him. This is going to sound like hating, because I actually like Jaden McDaniels. His moves are trash. And he was burning Peyton Watson tonight on some trash moves. And I'm sitting here going, man, get Peyton out of there.
It was good. Like, it was wild for him to be as good as he is defensively to go against somebody with the exact same archetype as him.
Dispatch him, man.
He really was getting to the rim and dunking on him. And also, they made it a point to attack Peyton Watson while he was out there. He was out of position a lot where he had to foul. Like, he was forced to foul. And I think that that's something that you're going to have to think about. If these two have to match up in the playoff series, they're going to go after Peyton Watson, because this was a backup unit that was doing that. What about when the starters get out there, or when it's a different, you know, type of variation of people trying to go after him? Peyton was not locked in on this one defensively. And then also I felt like he tried to press offensively. And that's when he's at his worst, is when he's just pressing or trying to make things happen because things aren't going his way. Go back to the roots. Play that hard defense. Give some more effort, especially against a team. Minnesota is on the second of a back-to-back, and they were super tired, and they were going to get gassed like late in the game. You have to give that effort for Denver so that they're not coming out lackadaisical. Or when the starters don't have it, you have to be that extra boost. And I just feel like he was pressing this time, and it didn't work out for him.
Yeah, I like the way you described it, because I think both Piwott and Christian, to me, slightly different players, but at their best, they're not just talented defensively. There is discipline there. And I didn't think there was a ton tonight, especially from Peyton, who I like the way you framed it. I feel like he was so eager to make a play that he often, like, I wonder if he even knew what position he was playing, what guy he was guarding. Like, he kind of was straying a little bit. So it was weird to me. Slightly better on the rebounds, but not great. It was not a good Peyton night. He hasn't been awesome the last the bench has been trending in the right direction.
Right, sure. Right. I was going to say, I think it's been...
I'll take that back. The bench has been trending in the right direction. But I do think there's... after a great stretch, there are a couple of lessons that have reared their head for Peyton, I think, which is good. I mean, he's essentially a first-year player. So it's lesson learning time, but I think he's got some stuff to clean up.
I think it would be smart in the playoffs to dare Denver to make threes. And you're going to die. You're going to get blown out some games because Denver can make threes. But I do think, there is something too. Denver's not most, they don't love doing that. They like to beat you in all the different ways. And if a team sticks with it and you force Peyton Watson and Christian Brown and Reggie Jackson to make shots, you might get lucky, especially in like, as the series gets shrinks, it might be a nice roll of the dice and say, you know what, we're going to dare those guys to make wide open stuff, and we're going to muck up everything in the paint, hard double yoke to make other guys make plays. That's why I just think there's a little something. Again, who's coaching that team? Chris Finch. He knows the Nuggets. He was here at the very start of the Jokic era. Tim Conley's over there. Monte Morris over there. I honestly think they have guys that are like, look, man, we have a lot of respect for that team. This is the one thing they like the least. We got to try to do it. All right, let's take a break on the other side. I'm going to ask the question. Can Denver guard Anthony Edwards? Did we learn something about that tonight? We'll get to that on the other side.
I love Olo Sports, not just because we've done it as a company and as a team, but also because it's helped me feel like I live in Denver, man. And we all get to spend a lot of time together. Respectfully, fellas, I would like to make some other friends. And I do not know what I would do without the Olo Sports community and a Olo Pass. It's the modern day sport and social club. It's only $20 a month. And if you're new to the city, if you're looking to branch out, make some new friends, stay active throughout the week, especially as the weather's getting nice, Volo's the way to do it. It allows unlimited access to pickups and league drop-ins as a sub. It includes league discounts up to $50, this Volo Pass. Free or discounted access to tournaments, fitness classes, events. Travel with the Volo Pass. All perks are accessible in any city that has Volo. You can sign up on the Volo app now using code DNVR3. That's DNVR3. Get the Volo Pass for only $10 a month for the first 3 months. What a deal. There are a lot of financial institutions out there, and I got one for you to really hone in on. I'm talking about Premier Members Credit Union. They're not a bank, which means they get to do things a little differently, like putting you first with higher savings interest and lower loan rates. With PMCU, you get local branches, friendly tellers, and the tools you need to save smarter, like their new high-yield savings account, or earn 5% APY on your first $2,000 with their reverse-tier money market. When you become a new member at PMCU, you get $200 just like that. All you have to do is open a checking account, sign up for e-statements. It's that easy. This will be your best money move yet. Head to becomepremier.com to find out more.
All right, we are back here. So I want to ask the question about Anthony Edwards. I will say, the chat has brought up some things. He did have a few plays that I got to go back and watch the tape on, because he had a couple that I just were like, those are travels, no? And Denver was like even lobbying for it, but maybe it was just great footwork that was deceiving. I don't know. I don't want to take that away from him. And he did have a couple threes that were like, you know, tip your hat when guys take and make those. What can you do? He missed the shot to tie. I can't believe he missed that shot.
I thought for sure that thing was coming.
To end the game, Denver's up three, and he comes down and gets a wide-open walk-into-it transition three-pointer and misses it. That one's got to hurt. But he goes 13 to 25. Dev, can they guard him?
Absolutely not.
Really?
But no one can right now. Like, he's playing his best basketball, and he's only in his third year. He's shooting the ball better than he's ever shot it. He's getting to the free throw line. His usage rate is way higher. Like, he's just in a rhythm and in a flow. And, I mean, he can score. But also, that they're not only going to have to stop Anthony Edwards. And also, I mean, if you put that much attention on him, it's going to have to force other people to score. He's really good when you don't have those other guys out there. That's when he's scoring at his best. But they're going to have to get it together, or they're going to – not be able to beat Denver in these type of settings. So I think that Denver's okay with letting Kim score if it eliminates other guys from going off. This was the perfect matchup for Anthony Edwards to go off. Nobody else to guard him. Nobody else to pass it to. He just wants to shoot it every single time, and he's going to make a lot of shots. Back to what you were saying on the travels. There was a lot of them. And I don't watch Anthony Edwards, like, every single night. Like, usually it's just high scoring. I mean, high-flying type of attacks and things like that. But just watching him, like, his movements are incredible. And he gets to wherever he wants, and he can get those foul calls. I don't think they can stop him, but I think that's okay still.
Yeah, it's almost – it kind of helps highlight what makes Denver who they are. Being able to guard a guy across four quarters, 82 games, is sort of a different thing than – there's 4 minutes left to go and it's a tie game. Like, it's a lot of those were turnaround jumpers, which were unbelievably impressive and looked easy and looked like there was nothing they could do to stop him from getting to the spot, which was true. But you know what can happen? You can always just miss those shots, especially as you get tired, especially as you get late in the game. Guys like Edwards and Tatum, honestly, is another one. And I'm not trying to do the bit, actually. Like, wow, it's amazing footwork. That's an incredible shot. How do you stop him from doing that? But also, aren't you okay with him doing that for the 30th time with 3 minutes left in the fourth? There's a little bit of that. And especially because the Wolves don't have a better option. I don't think Anthony Edwards is playing poor basketball. I just think that Denver is going to get good shots over and over and over again. The Wolves are going to need Anthony Edwards to shoot 55% over and over and over again. So I think Dev's right. I think the answer is no. But I don't know if to this point it changes the matchup at all.
Yeah, that is kind of an interesting thought. Somebody says here, and I'm going to check this to see if it's true, that Denver now guarantees a winning road record. Let me just look away. 21-15. It is true. So Denver now is guaranteed to have a winning road record. That was one of the things that they wanted to emphasize. If you remember at the start of the year, I feel like that's pretty cool. 27-6 at home, 21-15 on the road, Dev.
I mean, that's a side quest, I guess.
That is a side quest.
Yeah, like, that's really what they push for, what they want. And that typically tells you, like, the type of season that you're having. If you're going on the road and get those type of wins, find some type of consistency when things get tough. Like, so I love the fact that they're able to go in with the goal and accomplish that goal. I mean, they're now – the champions, so like the goal is going to be higher, but you still want that to be a big push, especially with the advantages that they have at home. If you're able to win on the road, you're definitely going to be able to win at home, so you're going to have a winning record. So I love that they accomplished that goal.
I like it because you know, obviously we're learning things about this group as they defend a title, which they've never done before. How do you approach that season? This was one area in which Michael Malone challenged them to be better than last year, right? And I think we can understand if on any given night Denver kind of feels like, yeah, wake us up in April or whatever. But throughout the season, there are still games they need to go and win. There's still a responsibility to it. And so Malone said, look, I want you guys to be better on the road. And they followed up on that. And that, to me, that's somewhat meaningful.
Yeah.
But also it's an extension of what we learned in the playoffs last year, which is that Denver can beat you on the road. If they have to, they can.
Denver's also now has 25 wins against teams with a 500 record or above. Only four teams can claim that: the Timberwolves, the Nuggets, the Thunder, and the Celtics. It feels appropriate that feels meaningful that Denver. I know this one is a weird one, right? Because it wasn't the actual Timberwolves.
Yeah.
But I mean, that happens throughout the core. That really, it's the 25. It's the accumulation of it. I just feel like those are two really good data points. Even though it's so funny. Your mood is so influenced, or your perspective is so influenced by the most recent thing. The Nuggets are what? What are they now? I'm 12-2 since the break. They've had two games in a row where they've been uninspiring, and so you're like this, but it's 12-2 since the break. They're the number two seed in the West. And Dev, on the number two seed part, they now are a full game ahead of Minnesota Timberwolves. I feel like that part is actually sneaky. I mean, that's why I say a win's a win tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you're trying to push to not become the number three seed. Granted, like, I feel like that was like a scheduled loss for Minnesota, but it also it helps, it counts for something, and you wanted to go after that win. That would have been a brutal loss.
Yeah,
exactly. If they had that, especially having to play them a few more times. You now have some cushion, but also you put pressure on OKC that they have to continue to win. You built that cushion so that you don't go to that three seed. So, like, you're at a right spot of being able to control your own destiny right there.
Have anything to add on it, on that one? Let me ask you this then. Is Anthony Edwards cooler than Jamal?
Cooler? Bro, you trying to get me sent out of this city?
That's true, I asked you that.
Get that shit out of my face. No, I don't think he is. Thanks for asking.
We'll just become the anti-Jamal guy, you know?
I can't believe I threw you that. I don't hate him.
My bad.
The thing is, like, yes, but also he's supposed to be. Like, he's been pushed as, like, the face of the NBA. And Jamal,
you think he's pushed as that?
He's pushed as that.
I think so.
And Jamal hasn't been that. And also one person is, like, really open with their life. In every way,
man.
And Jamal is not as open. He's not as like, look at me and what we're doing. And Anthony Edwards is. And it's not to say like that's a bad thing for either side. It's just different types of lifestyles. But Anthony Edwards is like openly cool, and he wants everybody to know how he is. But he's also being himself. That is not a bit. Nothing about him is a bit.
Right.
Trying to like please anybody. He's saying what's on his mind. He's saying what he's thinking.
Yeah.
And you have to love that type of transparency, like, from a player, like, of that talent as well.
Yeah.
What a setup, because I'm really glad I get to come to the defense of 27 here.
Oh. He's really cool, man.
What's cooler than being awesome in the playoffs every single time?
I love that the answer to this is, in the regular season, he's not. But in the playoffs, Jamal is cooler.
I think
Jamal is two people.
Listen, man, I kind of think having a reputation of all of a sudden scoring 8 points more per game in the playoffs is pretty cool. I really do. But Anthony Edwards is awesome. In the way that athletes are cool, Anthony Edwards is the total package. Yeah. I don't know him as a person off the court, whatever. But as an athlete, he has like all of it.
He's
aura. He is.
He has so much aura.
So much aura. What is he actually? Like 6'4", 6'5"?
Yeah, I've never sized him up.
He looks like he's 6'7", because he's just...
He's jacked.
He looks like he plays every jacked. Sport really he does. Well, man. He's cool.
Well, that was the rap on him, right? I remember coming into the draft, them talking about, we're not sure if this guy's a good pick because he likes other sports. He might like football more than this. And it's so funny to look at that, because you watch this guy and you're like, yeah, he loves it. He's like Jordan. He loves competition. He just,
that guy
clearly like needs to be just competitive.
It's a lot like Michael Jordan. I agree.
So crazy, man. So
looks
crazy.
Like him and everything.
Come on, man.
Just kidding.
I just think he's cool, man. I love the way he's a competitor. This is what it is. And this is the thing about Jamal. Jamal is such a competitor. Yep. He's a super competitor. But he has this weird, the thing that's different about him and MJ is MJ could bet you one penny it didn't matter, he wanted to win. I think Jamal has to feel it. He has to feel the stakes, and that's why he's so up and down. Is it's like, come on, you know, there's no stakes to this, and that's almost the difference.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's a great way to put it. Like, his has to have like a lot of stars aligned, back against the wall, things going against him for him to get to that point and to step up to that. And the playoffs bring that because they have been underdogs for so long. He has had to overcome so many other type of narratives and ideas about him that he wants to prove it to you. Anthony Edwards came in as a dog, like a real dog, nonstop, and he's trying to create that as well. And who knows if it's media that's pushed that narrative, but when you see him, you're like, hey, this guy wants it. This was a game that he easily could have taken off. Just had one of the best plays in NBA history last night where it just went on loops and his big men are out against the best big man in the NBA. He could have said, I'm taking this night off. Second night of a back-to-back in Denver after we just had that stretch. We're not going to win against them and we're already, you know, one behind them or however many games behind them. I'm taking the night off and I'm going to get right. He said, no, I'm going to bring it for my guys and I'm going to play extremely well. That's a little bit different. That mindset is, I'm going to come out and challenge no matter who's out there, whoever is alongside me, and you just love that part of it. I think Jamal has it. I think that there's extra motivation that he needs. It's a little bit different.
You know the type of people that are this way that just have to bet that everything is a competition, and somehow they see it all. They'll fill out a survey and they'll be like, "Did I win?" You're like, "Dude, it was a survey, man. Like, there's no winner. It just like, well, how do I do?" It's like, "What are you talking about?" I know people that are like that, and I think Anthony Edwards probably has a little bit of that in him because he just has that. It's like he's so energized no matter what the thing is. I think Murray is probably like those guys that climb El Capitan with no.
Yeah,
with no equipment, you know those guys.
Yeah. Just the free climbers.
Yeah, like he's like, man, I just can't do it with the ropes, man. It just takes me out of it. So lame. I don't like it. You know what we're talking about, right, Dev?
Absolutely.
For what it's worth, though, and he might never be this way. But if Murray ever does really decide, like All-Star, All-NBA, like these things are very, very important to me. That is a page he can take out of their books, man. Some of these guys, they do just generate it for themselves. And we can't, there's a bottom line to the Murray stuff that's awesome and undeniable.
Yeah.
But there's also there's something too to like, look, man, he had that quote, he wants to be one of the best players ever, the best player ever. And I love the attitude, but part of that you need a little bit of the Anthony Edwards. Tonight I'm doing this because I decided I'm doing this. I don't care who you are. I don't care where the lights are at, you know? So that's, there is still a leap for Murray to take. But at the same time, his frustration is almost palpable with this stuff because he's like, do you think I'm not going to get it done? I bet you I will.
You know what charisma really is? It's just a good smile. That's all it is. Anthony Edwards has a great smile, man. After he hit a shot in like the first half, I think it was, and then like kind of gets the crowd going and stuff, you're just like, this guy has it, man. He just has it. But enough love for Anthony Edwards. I'm sick of it. Any other final thoughts before we take our final break and then move on to Super Chats about this game? Is there anything else that stands out to you quite a bit?
I think Reggie Jackson was really good in this game.
17.
Especially while just getting called on out of nowhere. He's like, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to take advantage of this. And there was a lot of bad decisions that he could make. I don't think he was perfect. I think there was a few bad decisions, but for your starting point guard to go out and that to be like the finish and touch every single timeout, Reggie doesn't have much practice late in games finishing a team out, closing a team out, especially alongside Jokic. He really doesn't have much experience at all doing that. But he's such a vet that he's like, hey, I know what to do in this situation. I know what to do down the stretch, or I'm going to make the right plays to do that. So I think that huge shout, hat tip to Reggie on closing out this game on something that he hasn't seen much of.
Do you have any final thought here? Reggie did dribble it out of bounds, though, on a play that was made me want to, like, quit the game. But that was one play.
I think just that that we might have lost sight of where the expectations are at for the Nuggets collectively, right, as far as what gets us excited, what frustrates us, you know, like, even if they are downshifting or coasting or whatever, they're still winning. They are still winning. And every single point in the season where we've thought to ourselves, they need to show us the championship gear, they have. And even when they're not in championship gear, they win. So this seems awesome. And I kind of think they might be better than last year. So I know there's going to be a couple of hiccups here as they finish up the season, but I really like where they're at.
I think the Nuggets are going to finish the 2 seed. I've said this a lot. I think Minnesota is going to be the 3 seed. And if those two teams match up in a second round, I honestly think it's going to be a battle. It's going to push Denver in ways, in unique ways. And I'll tell you what, I don't look forward to it because I think it would be an ugly series. But you know what? Like tonight, Nuggets can win ugly. That's what they did. All right, let's take our final break on the other side. 20 Super Chats to get through. You got any others? Get them in here.
You know, it's kind of like Super Chats. Going to a legal pizza with all of your friends. Everyone just gets to put all their Super Chats in. And then, well, it's not Super Chats. You pay real money and they give you burritos. But then you all get to talk to each other about sports, which is cool. This episode is brought to you by Illegal Pete's. Before March Madness starts, join the DNVR and Illegal Pete's Bracket Challenge for free. Prizes for the top 3 finishes include diehard memberships, shirt, and gift card to the DNVR locker, and Illegal Pete's gift cards. Check out our socials for the link to sign up. And of course, Illegal Pete's Golds is open in Wheat Ridge. Swing by and check out the festivities. Check out the new location located in Golds Marketplace on the corner of 26th and Kipling. Illegal Pete's, your go-to spot for burritos, buddies, and beer. And man, what a night at the bar. We had the tri crowd going, the Avs, the Nuggets, the CSU Rams, tear them asunder, proud to be. And it was popping in here. The bar's been awesome lately.
It's going to be like that, man. And tomorrow it's going to be like that again.
It's going to be like that for a while. And it's not just the watch parties. We also throw
Thursdays and Knicks games too.
We also throw events. So make sure you're keeping your eyes peeled to the calendar.
Saturday, Mike, who do they play Saturday?
On the DNVR.com or check out at DNVR_sports on social. For a full social calendar. Join us for an iconic week of March Madness.
Yo, maybe Saturday will be a good one. Saturday, you got March Madness all day, and then the Portland game at night. That's got
to
be a win.
Yeah, this is all on the script. I'm getting to it. So, just teasing.
We're just talking here. We're just talking.
No, I just literally, just talking. I wish you knew, like, every time I went to say a sentence,
yeah.
You, anyway. Okay.
Avs too.
Uh-huh. Before I get to the Saturday one, how about Thursday and Friday, this Thursday and Friday, March Madness is upon us. Doors open at 9:30 a.m. So lots of great drinks and specials on Thursday and Friday and bottomless mimosas on the weekend mornings. We'll be hosting live shows down at the bar as well. Come hang out with the entire DNVR crew. And then, as Adam was saying, join us on Saturday for a Breckenridge Brewery Nuggets watch party. Join us to support a cause that is near and dear to our hearts for Kinley and Kennedy. These beautiful little girls suffer from a very rare disease called GM1 at the young ages of 8 and 11. With your donation, we'll be offering multiple raffle ticket entries to win the game day swag, DNVR merch, and offering many
specials
that evening. We appreciate your support of a diehard family in these tough times. Again,
I love that we do this, man.
Stay glued to that social schedule.
There you go. All right, we are back, and we have some super chats. The people super chatted tonight, Gail. What did they have to say?
CJ, D-Line's best friend, Jones.
Oh, hell yeah.
Did you send him the shoes,
CJ? He sent him the shoes, yeah.
Ugly. However, it almost made me feel like Denver wants to play tight games. Do they have the most clutch games this season? Prediction, Denver goes 26-8 the rest of the way. Check my math.
Okay, there's the playoffs in there, too. Okay, got it. The Nuggets really do give just enough. That's why they never blow anybody out.
Yeah.
They were up 15 points, and it turned into a barn burner. It's just the Nuggets is they're in their DNA. It sucks. Nuggets going to win 6 straight titles, and every season they're going to have the worst net rating of any playoff team. Lock it in.
Maddox, all the Nuggets, minus MPJ, are trolling. Hashtag effort.
They are trolling.
Loomy, incredible opening siren noise. Vote more of that.
More of it.
Well, don't worry. I cannot stop. It's compulsive. Peter Plummer. With 4 made 3-pointers, MPJ has now made 190 on the season.
That's right.
Thank you for bringing this up.
Thank you. Yes.
He can tie Dale Ellis's franchise record for threes made in one season with 2 made threes on Thursday. Oh, my God. Thursday.
We're going to bet over 2.5, and it's going to bang.
Bro.
So good.
Dale Ellis, come on. You know what I mean?
I know.
If you don't count the shortened 3-point line, see, he actually set the record
tonight. Yeah. We technically have to count it.
And he's going to break it anyway.
It's Michael Porter. I love that he's going to own that record.
Yeah, man.
I love it. Knock on wood.
It makes sense.
Let's get him a Nuggets record. He is a Nuggets champ. Peter Plummer. Oh, sorry. We just did that one. S. Williams 2, our guy, Michael Porter jumper. Focus up, Nuggets.
That's right. Focus up. Actually, or just whatever. Just keep getting wins.
Whatever.
Give us stuff to talk about.
Bashir Daoud, our guy. Has Jokic ever played 3 quarters with 0 assists?
He has, actually. He's had a handful of games with it. I think there was like 14 games. Most recently in 2020 against Domantas Sabonis. Telling you, he always has weird games against Sabonis.
Good stuff. Carrick Stevens. Love the show, dudes. Keep crushing it. We need public apologies for MPJ haters, please.
No, yes.
No. I need them to keep going.
That's
it
true.
It fuels me.
Double down.
After Jokic, I never thought I'd get to be so right again. Come on.
There's always that one person saying, they said MPJ can't shoot.
Said he couldn't shoot. Shout out Super Dope.
One guy actually did ask him if he could still shoot. Remember that media day?
And then, you know what? That question aged kind of well for a couple months.
Yeah, he shot 39%
on 7 attempts. Super Dope Hip Hop. Same name on Twitter, by the way. They put out some good stats. I think they've tagged me in some. MPJ since January 12th, 18-7-2 on 51-41-88. Nugs 22-7. That's some good third option production right there, fellas.
X Factor, baby.
Chunk Dick Wells
Burner. Oh, he's back.
He's back.
A don't look a gift horse win in the mouth type of win.
That's right.
Oh, and by the way.
Why don't you look a gift horse in the mouth?
Shouldn't you? Isn't the lesson that you should look more closely in the mouth in case there are people hiding inside of it that are going to sack your city?
Will you Google this? Why should you not look a gift horse in the mouth?
Because what if it's a Trojan horse? I feel like you should look very closely.
Yeah, this doesn't make sense.
Anyway, more from Chunk Dickwell. Oh, by the way, what does a Timberwolves fan do after their team wins the NBA championship? Turn off the Xbox and go to bed.
Oh, man. That was... We just won a championship, man. Like we just
got in from the cold. We're like, look at those losers.
Those guys out there.
Snowing out.
Freezing.
There. But you know what?
So warm here by the fire.
All right, here's the official explanation of that saying. The saying, don't look a gift horse in the mouth, means that you shouldn't criticize a gift even if you don't like it very much, because a gift is a gift.
Unless but why would you not look at...
All
right.
Unless it's a Trojan horse, though. All right.
Yeah, all right.
I just feel like that's the worst example.
Can you imagine... I mean, you imagine not liking a horse as a gift?
Right.
Yoke would never.
The Porter Forder. Shout out Big
Mammoth. So dumb. That's
the
so
Porter
good.
Forder.
The Porter Forder.
F it, I'm saying it, dude.
It was a Porter. That was a Porter Forder, dude.
Oh, man. That's so good.
Big Mammoth or Big Name K.
Jared sure. From FOCO. MPJ taking that next step. CSU showed up at least. They did show up.
That's two very separate thoughts, man. Shouts to you, Rammies.
Got them both in.
Got them both in for one super chat.
We can read this next one, but Ryan, we appreciate you.
What happened?
We'll read it. I think people know to put their kids to bed for the super chat. Ryan Mordecai says, the Nuggets really got to be choked before they can finish, huh? That's what his wife said tonight. Yeah. First of all, your wife's awesome.
That's what she
incredible.
Said.
Yeah. Incredible. Incredible. That's what she said.
Congrats on the wife.
Yeah. What a flex. What a brag over here.
Nico Perez, are we ready to value MPJ as a legitimate one or two option instead of him getting crumbs off the offense?
No, he's the third or fourth option. What are we talking about?
He is locked in right now.
We're not ready.
I will say, look, man, they're giving him the rock. He's scoring his points, and there was one shot tonight. He hit three in a row, and they ran a play for him, and he was open enough. He wasn't wide open, but he was open enough for me.
Yeah, they were. I know, for me too.
And he like, gave it back to Jokic. Yeah. Like, dude, just shoot that.
Doing exactly what Michael Malone wanted. I know. Like, shoot it.
I tip my hat. He has somehow gone from a guy that had no restraint to now he has more restraint than I do.
I know.
In him.
With him. Yeah. Like, shoot it. So insane. True, I actually think he was right not to shoot
that. Yeah, he might have. I mean, they won.
Yeah. Mr. Tembo, MPJ miked the Wolves tonight.
Or is it milked?
Mike? Oh, is it milked? Yeah. That's my bad, guys. Forgot my own joke. Forgot our own joke.
Milked to the Wolves.
We took a picture with the Red Hawk roofing guys, and they made a milk joke. You guys are
that out was of, actually true. That did happen.
Daniel Lynch, we've just begun the Denver Nuggets decade. Taking O'Brien's is our whole crusade. Nikola Jokic will learn to love parades. Let's have one in Belgrade.
I'm telling you, he loves them. He said he's going to stay on parade. He didn't say he's...
never doing one again.
He said stay on parade.
Staying on parade.
I plan to stay on parade.
Peter Plummer. There were multiple plays where Ant picked up his dribble, pivoted, and then stepped forward with his pivot foot before shooting. My whole life this has been a travel. Does the NBA have a different rule?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Peter, you haven't played in the NBA. Man. That's the thing.
I do think the NBA does have different rules about traveling, actually, is really just the answer. Aaron Tanzer, first game at the bar, great vibes, took a victory shot of Rakia Zhivali.
Yes, sir.
MPJ did his best impression of Murray Fleury in the fourth. All the Nuggets are good. By the way, if you came to the bar tonight and you missed us, it's because the bar was so full. We had to go all the way up to the third floor to watch the game. So that's not typical. We're usually down there watching with you guys, hanging out. High in fives, five in highs, but tonight you guys showed up, showed out, so there was no room for us. But I hope you enjoyed it. Chunk Dickwell's burner. Bo Cruz can stop Ant. Sign him up, Calvin. 5-5-5-5-5-ish.
Like a Bo Cruz.
What are the top three MPJ
nicknames? I do miss Will. It would be fun if Wancho somehow was here for something.
I know, man. I love Wancho. 5-5-5-5-ish. What are the top three MPJ nicknames that you like? Mine are Michael Passing the Rock Porter Jr., Michael Defender Jr., and Michael Presser Jr. I've never said Michael Presser Jr., so that's a good one. That's a good one.
What would you press?
I don't know. I like, look, here's the, if it ends in ER, you can do it.
Yeah, you can do it. That's so true.
And they all work. It's a perfect joke. Zach Weaver, the Wolves don't understand Michael Porter Jr.
I love it. Yeah.
They don't
know. Boom.
Oh, that's a reference to the book that I got, I think, yesterday.
Really?
Yes.
Tell us about this book.
Someone gave me a book that's written by Michael Porter.
Oh, that's right. At the end, on the back, it says that, right?
One of the leading academics in the world of competition and strategy. And the tagline is, if you don't know, if you thought you knew Michael Porter, you don't.
That's awesome.
I read books that I receive, too.
How's that bird book
doing? I just learned about a red hawk.
A red hawk?
I know. I feel like I have to read that thing now. And it looks a bit like homework, but thank you very much. Daniel Lynch, you look a horse in the mouth to check his teeth to see if the horse has been taken care of. A horse with bad teeth has been abused. Jokic would know this.
Okay, this still doesn't explain the saying, though, because the saying is you don't look a horse in the mouth.
Because if it's a bad horse with bad teeth, you can't get upset. So if someone gives you a horse with bad teeth, don't look for that.
I think we figured it out. This saying is fundamentally wrong.
It's just a really dumb one. It's a
bad expression.
Also, nobody gives anyone horses.
That's also true.
There's a lot of bad sayings.
There's a lot of bad sayings. I want to give
one last one.
Oh, we got one more?
Christian DeShazer. Jokic was not bothered tonight after the third quarter meltdown. Go back and watch the timeout on Altitude broadcast. He was bobbing his head to the music. Hell yeah.
I love it. There you go. Jokic's feeling it. You can hit that outro music. I'm going to give a quick shout out real quick. We're going to be back tomorrow, and we're going to talk about the Serbia-USA draw because that's just so compelling. We talked about it a little bit in the pregame show. You can get some early thoughts, but we'll break it all down tomorrow. Might even try to get Miroslav to pop on tomorrow to talk about it because I think it's really interesting. USA and Serbia in the same group for pool play at the Olympics. I know that's like around the corner, but can't help it. I got to talk about it, man. It's so juicy.
Yeah, I mean, to finish us off, all I'll say is send a video.
Oh, no. I just remembered that. What? Okay, now I have to take back everything I said about Anthony Edwards. I forgot about that.
Oh, man. That was terrible. I was going to give a heartfelt thing here. Can I go heartfelt here? I was going to give a shout out to my guy, Colin. He'll know who he is. Wrote me a message yesterday. Bumped into him someplace. Very, very unique. And shared a very, very personal and interesting story about the show. And it actually really affected me, really touched me a lot. So I just wanted to kind of give him a shout out.
Yeah.
I always love hearing from people, you know, through the DMs or for wherever. But Colin, thinking about you. And you know what? Glad we pulled out this win tonight. Everybody, hit that like button on the way out. We'll see you. We all silly like the mayor.